It may be thinking of hardness. So how can I detect that it is thinking?
Okay.
That's your point.
That's your point. My point too.
Okay. Let's think of hardness.
So I close my eyes, I can think of hardness. That's right. But touching.
Yeah, it's not thinking.
Yes, I think.
Before thinking. Moments before thinking.
Moments before thinking.
Hardness is experienced by Kaya Vinyana, body sense. And when there is the understanding about reality, is that hardness is a reality. No table, no chair, no body, yeah. No finger.
Yeah, this is not a chair or a table.
That is moment of thinking about it. But after the body consciousness has experienced it, and awareness arises, it experiences the same hardness, exactly the same. And one can say that how many times a day it arises, or none at all in the day. It begins with so very, very few moments of awareness. And one can see that right awareness has arisen by conditions, not at anyone's will at all. And this is the only way to eliminate desire to have it. But desire always is there. It's coming so soon. We don't have to wait. It's there after each moment, even after awareness.
Because we like it.
And that is Panya which knows. Otherwise, who knows the difference between awareness and moments without awareness? When it's like that, it's like that. If one hopes to have more, it's lopa, unseen again. Can it let one out of its boundary, even less than an inch?
Just for a moment, even.
Mm-hmm. For a moment. That Panya can make way for it.
Hole in the roof of lobe.
Mm-hmm.
And at the moment of experiencing, there's no idea of location or point on body sense. It's just the moment of experiencing, and it's just hardness which appears. But we can all say, or if we go to the doctor, we know this is experienced at this point on the fingers, or this is where we feel the pain by thinking about it afterwards. So at the moment of experiencing the hardness, the sanya accompanying the citta is only marking the hardness. So how come afterwards there is the thinking? How come we know where that hardness was experienced, where
after
it is located?
More and more panya. For example, right now, there is seeing. Everyone sees. While one is sitting or not sitting. It's in one's mind, always in one's mind.
The position
of the body. Because we have the idea of atta, sanya, the memory of self, of the body as my body, all the time. Wherever one goes, it goes, the body. When one sits, it's my body which sits. So how can there be the elimination of no, it's not my body, no body, only a moment of experiencing hardness or softness?
But in that case, the idea of the body is an idea of a whole or a concept which is covering up the understanding of realities directly. But in Paramatta terms, whether or not there is any awareness of it, as we just discussed, cittas arise at location. So in terms of body consciousness experiencing, it is located at the different points in the body. So at the moment of experiencing hardness, there's no idea of location because this is just an idea. But even so, there is the knowledge of where that location is. But you're saying that this is just the idea of the whole or the concept covering up. But what I'm saying is, in this case, it is actually based on realities, because there are those sensitive points where the experiencing is experiencing the hardness. But in the case of an idea of sitting here, well, it's a whole conglomeration.
Can the idea of self or the idea of I be eliminated just at the moment of being aware of a reality, just right then, instantly?
No, it has to develop on knowledge.
That's why one can see how much one clings.
More refined.
Right.
And there are meditation methods that ask you to watch sensations throughout the body. They don't realize that just sanya and thinking, but they believe that that's awareness. But it's sanya that's coming and determining.
When there's no right understanding with awareness of a reality, no way to eliminate the idea of self.
Coming back for a moment on anusayas, I'm grateful for what you have explained. And what is, frankly speaking, is new to me is the idea of asayas. Mm-hmm. So that, in other words, there are latent tendencies, akusala, but also kusala latent right. tendencies. Mm-hmm. And that is very important. Yeah. And kusala latent tendencies can condition kusala in one's daily life. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. That's why sometimes there are kusalas and sometimes there are akusalas.
Yes.
By conditions.
That's very important, yeah.
So can we say that whatever kusala or akusala factors are arising at the present moment, they are the manifestation of the latent accumulation?
That it's still there.
Or at least they are conditioned by the...
Conditioned by anusaya.
Conditioned by?
Okay. Conditioned by the latent tendencies, uh-huh. yeah. Amongst others, probably, because I take it that there's akusala which is conditioned by other things, babe.
For example, if there was no accumulation of dana, there couldn't be
dana. Asaya, right? You mean asaya? That's why people have different characters. Hmm. One has the character of giving, one has conditions for sila, and one for bhavana.
I asked this morning about samvega, or a sense of urgency, and we discussed how this is referring to panya. It must be with panya. And I have a couple of quotes here. This one is from the Charyapitika, as used in your book on perfections. When right understanding with a sense of urgency arises, we should not let it pass without paying attention to it. So it's like saying in simple English that when panya arises, when right understanding arises, it should be known. Is this the point? And we should reflect on the conditions for this sense of urgency so it can arise more often. The thought of death and impermanence can be a condition for further developing the perfections. Of course, we know it's not self and it's not something that should be done, so it's to be understood in the light of anatta, as we discussed. But this not letting it pass without paying attention to it, does this mean being aware when panya with samvega arises and reflecting on the conditions so it can arise more often?
I think it's like a reminder for panya to see the value of whatever appears as the object of awareness. For example, right now we are sitting here, have Dhamma discussion. What motivates this situation? Do we have to think about death? No. But the understanding of how short life is, and this life is the life that can accumulate more panya. That's why we come and develop panya as much as one can. But we don't have to think like, now this is coming.
All the life is so short.
Mm-hmm. It's underlying.
And the Bodhisattva realized the impermanence of the dewdrops and made this predominant in accumulating a sense of urgency and disenchantment. It arose once and then it became a condition leading to its arising very often. So again, if we have an idea, oh, think about the impermanence of the dewdrops, it's completely wrong. But the understanding of impermanence of reality as condition for accumulating
and panya. Even the meaning of urgency, what degree? Just now is the meaning of it. As much as possible. We cannot go beyond that. It doesn't mean that we have to have urgency so strong to do something.
Just the more panya is developed, the better. And in this one, this is the typical translation we come across in the text, like, this is from the translation, the Dhamma Sangani, but it's the same in the translations of Teri Theragata. He being agitated makes a rational effort, hence it has agitation, or the basic condition of making energy as proximate cause. Right energy should be regarded as the root of all attainment.
Referring to urgency.
It's referring to samvega, which they always translate as being agitated.
Professional effort is yoniso manasikara.
Does it mean that one has to look for urgency, try so hard to have it, or now?
No.
Mm-hmm. But we don't understand that it's this moment. The urgency is at this moment, already, by conditions. At moment of kusala. Yeah.
And usually it refers to Samvega as a condition for right effort. So if there is panya with urgency at this moment, it's conditioned for there to be right effort now.
Do we need to have some Samvega by thinking about this or that? Like, let's think about Samvega so that we'll have urgency. It's not like that at all.
No.
But here it is a shame of not having panya to understand reality. Is there any moment in your life that you think about it, or it seems like you are ashamed of not having panya? It's not you. At moment of studying, here it is there. It performs its function of being ashamed of not having panya, so it develops the understanding of panya by all cetasikas.
Could one say at those moments of Hiri and Otapav not having panya, that it is samvega, it is urgency?
Depending on the stage of kusala.
And level and
yeah, because one cannot have only kusala with panya all the time.
No. And Hiri and Otapav accompanies
but
all
kusala. It's not I who is ashamed. It's the Hiri which performs its function already at this moment of studying Dhamma or discuss about Dhamma. So we didn't have to. I didn't feel ashamed at all. But actually, it's the Hiri which performs its function, not I, who must have it.
Can one refer to different degrees and levels of Samvega, or it's just the sense of urgency which accompanies the developed right understanding?
I think that it's some conditions, not all.
But I think there can be a sort of innate sense of urgency. If one is a person who regularly thinks of the importance of developing understanding and that sort of thing, there must be some sense of urgency there, even though one...
By themselves.
By themselves.
By jetasikas.
One doesn't think, oh, life is short, particularly.
Yeah. Could one say there's a bit of a snowball effect, that the more panya develops, the more there is a sense of urgency naturally, because one appreciates more and more the value
what
of it?
What is the reality of urgency? What jetasika is
Viriya.
It? Viriya. That's
Viriya
all.
With
it
panya.
Accompanies almost every citta. So we don't have to come to think about Viriya.
So when we read in the Abhidharma text that Samvega is the proximate cause for Viriya, what does that mean if it is Viriya already?
At that very moment.
But isn't that like saying Viriya is the proximate cause for Viriya at that moment?
That's why we know how it come to arise at that moment. By this or by that or by what?
Sense of urgency was panya. Some level or other, no?
With our Viriya?
With Viriya.
With Viriya, yeah.
And Viriya is not panya.
Right.
Yeah. So it's panya with Viriya.
Mm-hmm.
Panya plus right effort. So in that case, it's saying panya with Viriya is the condition for right effort.
So one can see that without the development of right understanding of realities as they are, one cannot read Tripitaka with understanding. Do you mind what you would be next life?
So we cannot help it's a wrong thinking. My next life, but I cannot help that. My past life, although I know it's not mine, but it's such a thing that is strong idea, my next life will be that. It is not mine. But
one can understand the cause and the result. When it's kusala deeds, it conditions the wholesome moment of birth consciousness. But we cannot expect. As long as one is not a sotapanna, there can be conditions for being born in hell or other woeful planes. But it has to be like that. So develop kusala more and more, and this is one of the samvega.
When one knows that it cannot be known, it cannot be helped, it just depends on conditions, that's the samvega at this moment.
That's what you said on the radio, that you should think of birth in hell and other unhappy planes, so that we don't neglect any kind of kusala.
I don't know whether I use the word should or not.
No,
but the conditions.
Yeah, the conditions.
As long as one is not a sotapanna, there can be reason or conditions to be born.
Most people would get frightened when they think of hell and the possibility there.
Mm-hmm.
Worry about that, though, is a kusala.
And worry is akusala, so it can condition the birth consciousness in hell. depending on their deeds.
So that's why reading or hearing about hell planes can be conditioned for kusala or akusala, just depending. That's why it's no rule that one should read or reflect on this or that, because it just depends on conditions, how one responds.
Could you explain the three Atipatthaya?
Yes.
The kusala condition.
By oneself.
By oneself.
Or the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Dhamma. So that you abstain from evil. For yourself, you are the condition to do that. Or other people will criticize you. It seems like Hiri and Otapa, the difference, shame of Akusala. Or fear of blame, Otapa. What the world will think of you or your teacher. And the third one is Dhamma, and that because of Dhamma you will abstain from evil and do good and develop Panya.
So there are three kinds of doing good deeds. Which one is now?
If it is just for Dhamma, it's the best.
Yes, but which one is now?
Usually for oneself. Mixed.
Can it be mixed?
Different moments. I mean, we can say now it's for the sake of just understanding Dhamma, but in between there may also be other moments like wanting more sati for oneself or something. So we could say most of the time now it's for Dhamma, but honestly speaking, there are also moments when one is concerned about oneself as well. It's not kusala all the time when one's discussing or reflecting on Dhamma, I think. Sometimes for the world, like maybe in order to help others better or concern for other people, like when one raises questions to help others, would you say that is for the sake of Dhamma or is that for the sake of the world?
If one would say that's for the sake of Dhamma, it means that one understands what Dhamma is. Mm. Otherwise, how can there be good deeds considered by one's own sake or the other's sake or for Dhamma's sake, only Dhamma's sake?
So you're saying that for us it's mostly only for ourselves?
It depends. Someone just hope or wish to have good return as a result of good deeds. So that is the first one, Attatipataya, considering for one's own sake. But the others, when one think about other people, for example, in Thailand, people become ordained for the sake of mother or parents, for the other's sake. But for those who understand Dhamma, not just for anyone at all, just because wholesomeness is wholesomeness, for the sake of Dhamma only, because it's the wholesomeness, conditioned wholesomeness.
Does it mean that in the first kind in particular, it has to be akusala?
No.
Not necessarily all kusala, but degrees of
by
kusala.
Different considering for the sake of what?
So different degrees of kusala.
And one knows by oneself. The teachings of the Buddha help one to understand reality right then.
When you say for the sake of Dhamma, the third one, does that mean for the sake of kusala?
As one knows that there is no self, wholesomeness is wholesomeness.
For someone who hasn't heard the teachings, can they have the third kind?
I don't think so, because they don't know about Dhamma.
Right.
So how can it be, just for the sake or by considering Dhamma?
Couldn't they have an appreciation of the value of kusala without it
who?
Being for themselves?
Who?
I suppose it would be for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise it would be the second one for the others.
The first one, kusala for oneself, it's hard for me to see how it is kusala. Let's say you study in order to have more sati for oneself. It seems like attachment.
But it's kusala.
It's kusala.
Motivated by considering about oneself, just for oneself. So that I
kusala.
Would be good person, so I have less akusala.
Mm-hmm. I see.
There can be kusala performed with that underlying
motivation.
But the next moment there can be attachment.
There can be attachment
to be the good person.
A lot of attachment. Mm-hmm. One may still give the gift, so there must be kusala, but
different moments.
Like I'd like to be better person. See, me better.
Yeah.
What that person do is just for the sake of himself. Herself.
But that's not
to be
kusala.
Better. It is kusala, but what is the motivation underlying?
And it would seem that would then be for the other also. You want to help the other too. So it's kusala
by considering the others, like mother or parents, or
yeah.
you do good deeds for them, yeah. not to let them sorry or things like that.
So any moment of right understanding will be the third one?
For just Dhamma, because wholesomeness is wholesomeness.
But doesn't that help?
No, it's just understanding whatever happens in one's life. At that moment, it's for the other's sake, or for one's sake, or for Dhamma's sake. It depends on reality right then. So the teachings help one to understand more and more about everything in one's life. Even kusala, which is done for what? For oneself? Or for whom?
The other? Or...
Mm-hmm.
Tom, that would be a little bit difficult for you to appreciate from what we were saying before, because you were saying about how the important thing is developing good qualities in order to live with one's fellow men and help others around.
The clarity of your thought is at the root of it. If the intention is with an awareness of yourself rather than others, then clearly that's perhaps not where you want to be going.
I think that would be the first type, when really it's more for oneself mm-hmm. to be a good person.